Trump digs coal, another of the president's favorite campaign slogans, and a good summary of his views on the environment. Since taking office, Trump's made moves to help the coal industry, but in Britain, things are different. The government there wants to pretty much phase out coal power by 2025. Barbara Fries is the author of Coal, A Human History. This news is striking partly because coal was so important throughout the history of the UK, maybe most notably through the Industrial Revolution. But how important was coal in helping England become kind of like the superpower that it was and still is to some degree?
It was enormously important. Really, there's no other nation in the world that had its fate and its history determined as much as Britain did by its use of coal. It was very dependent on coal centuries ago, and that posed certain problems for it. As early as the 1600s, the coal mines were flooding, and they had to figure out a way to get all the water out of there. And they came up with all kinds of sort of primitive solutions involving chains and buckets and horses and things. But ultimately, the solution they came up with was the steam engine. And that sparked the Industrial Revolution in Britain, and it spread from there to the rest of the world.
Now, here in the U.S., when politicians try to reduce our use of coal, coal miners are often held up as the victims. What do you think is different between the relationship between Brits and their coal and their miners versus how it is here in the U.S.?
It partly has to do with this very contentious labor history that we saw in Britain over the last few decades. The coal industry was actually nationalized by a labor government after World War II, and it was an enormous industry. It employed hundreds of thousands of miners, but it wasn't very profitable. And when conservative governments came to power, they wanted to modernize it and shrink it, and that meant laying off lots and lots of coal miners. And this labor conflict kind of came to a head with a very long and bitter strike in 1984, and the government managed to resist that strike. They kept the lights on. And ultimately, the strike failed and the mines continued to close and the miners continued to lose their jobs. So you really had Britain wrestling decades ago with this question of what kind of sacrifice was the nation going to make in order to protect the coal industry. And they decided not much, and so that industry faded away. Now Britain is free to make its climate policies, its energy policies, its economic policies without really focusing so much on miner welfare.
Politically, though, what changed? Because, I mean, the news that Britain will stop using coal by 2025, it seems like a really big deal, because it is. But coal's been declining in England for years. I read that England got as much as 40% of its power from coal as recently as 5 years ago, and last year it was 9%. How was the UK able to kind of go cold turkey on coal so fast?
It did it partly by increasing its natural gas use, though not as much as you might expect. It also has a lot of new power coming online from solar and wind, and they put in place a carbon tax. So you have a situation there where both the markets and the government are pushing in the same direction. And that's not happening here anymore. Here, of course, instead of having our conservative politicians pushing to hasten us past coal technology, we have them trying to prolong our dependence on coal.
Barbara Fries, the author of Coal, A Human History, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Marco.